probably cut down on the background noise. So it was closer to me up here anyway. John 6:53, I pain. Un. Autois. Hol. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lego.
Himen.
Ion.
May.
Fagete.
Tain.
Sarka.
Tu.
Wiu.
Tu
Anthropu.
Kai.
Piete. Autu.
To.
Haima. Uk. Hekete.
Zoane.
Hain. Ealtois.
Yeah,
a little thing at the end of this. Unless a person has partaken of the blood of Jesus Christ, he's a walking dead man. The land of the living dead. The real ones. You know, there's old movies like that. But the real land of the living dead. I pain. He said, that's third person singular, second aorist, indicative acting, and that whole form of that word changes when it goes into the second aorist. It was lego originally, now it's I pain. Okay, he said, third person singular, and then it's therefore. And that's a particle. After particle. Page 295 in your analytical lexicon if you want to look up that oon. And then it says, to them. Therefore he said to them, the Jesus. Now the Jesus, that ho Jesus there, it's nominative singular masculine. And Jesus is the subject of that sentence. Okay? Now he said, third person singular, second aorist, indicative active, he said to them, the Jesus. And then he says, amen, amen. And how old is that word amen? How many languages does that go back through? All the way back to Persian, doesn't it? All the way back to Persian.
And it means truly, truly.
Truly, truly. Or most affirmatively. It is a particle of absolute affirmation. Amen is a particle of absolute affirmation. Amen, amen. He not only said it one time, but he said it twice. Because in Greek, in the Greek language, when you say something twice or three times, it means it's real, real strong. Real strong. It emphasizes, compounds the power of that of those words. So he says here, most affirmatively, or absolutely true, or truth. Walter West used to tell me, He knew an Indian man, and he had a lot of fellowship with him while he was in Wyoming. He was a Cheyenne Indian, and Marathon Oil used him to deal with the Indians back in the Midwest, and how to make contracts with them for oil, property, and shale, and mining, and production in their areas. And he would go to them and deal with them. And one of the men there, I can't even think of his name now. It's been a long time, but one of the men, Native American speak, he was Lakota. And he was acquainted with Leonard Peltier and all that bunch with the American Indian movement. Anyway, he would talk to Walt, and he would say to him something, and then when he would finish what he was saying, he'd say, truth, truth, like that. I swear to you, under oath, by the God of heaven, that I'm telling you the truth. That's what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus was saying here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it more strongly, he says. What I am telling you is the absolute truth. Don't waver. You can bet your life on it. Truly, truly, I say to ye, I say, there's lego, that's first person singular, present indicative active, to ye, that's dative plural, second person pronoun, okay? Unless, it says, if not, is what it literally says there, a may, unless ye may eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and ye may drink of him the blood, no or not, they have life in themselves. Not they have life in themselves. Go back. The Son of the Man. Every little word here that John wrote down has an absolute meaning behind it. Everything that John wrote in this book has meaning behind it. Of course, he's quoting Jesus. And he says here, if you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son, the heir of man. What heir is he talking about? And back in the book of Daniel, they talk about one light walking like the Son of Man in the fiery furnace when the three Hebrew children were born. The Son of Man. He looked like a human being. That's what Son of Man. Looks like a human being, but he's really talking about God. He looks like a human being. He looks like one of Adam's people, one of Adam's race. Mm-hmm. What he looked like. He had 2 feet, he had 2 arms, he had a head, 2 eyes, 2 ears, a mouth, nose, fingers, and toes. Jesus did. He was the Son of Adam. Actually, to say it better, he was the Son of mankind, the Son of the woman. The Son of the woman. Remember in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, God in the promise, the first promise of the Savior, he told Eve, he says, in your seed shall all the nations be blessed. And how? How would they be blessed? According, you know what he said to Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
That her seed would overcome the seed of the Antichrist and Satan himself. That's the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman, not the seed of man, but the seed of woman. And this is who it was. This is the seed of the woman. This was the seed of Mary, the woman Mary. Mankind. He was related as our kinsman redeemer in the law of the Old Testament. Jesus, I'm translating the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke right now, and Jesus is cutting out all the loopholes of the law of Moses. The lawyers that he was talking to, it says they were lawyers that he was talking to, they could go and say, now the law of Moses said this, and this is what we do. We're not going to listen to you. Well, they had interpreted what the law of Moses said, and they were lawyers. God has never thought much of lawyers, I don't think. And as far as I can tell, there isn't much to think about. They are nitpickers at little bitty pieces of information. Laws are made to protect people. When they no longer protect the people they're made to protect, they're no good. You need to start over again. Well, the laws of Moses were made to protect people. They were made to protect people from kings and from each other. But in the law of Moses, it says that if you have a piece of land, or if you're a slave, or whatever, that you can be bought out by someone that is your kinsman, that's related to you only. That you have to be bought out by that
somebody
kinsman else. Redeemer.
That someone kinsman redeemer. Someone in your family?
Yes, someone in your family can buy you out of hock. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the closer the relative, the better. If you had somebody out there having problems and he was your brother, then you were expected to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Or your sister, or your aunt or your uncle, or your mother or your father, or your son or daughter, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You were commanded to help them because they didn't have a welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
And so you helped them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this kinsman redeemer was supposed to be related to them to redeem them out. Now, Jesus was related to us to redeem us back to God. He was our relation, wasn't he? Through Mary, he was half God or half man, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And through God, he was God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a man-God. I said half man and half God, but mm-hmm. really he was all God, and in a way, all man.
Mm-hmm.
And, because his physical body was like Adam, the son of man. But his spirit was eternal, the eternal God of heaven. He was the eternal God of heaven. And Jesus, as a man, had a beginning, but Jesus, as the person of the Trinity, did not. See, in Bethlehem, he had a beginning. We just read about Herod's report of why he killed the little children there. Jesus did have a beginning. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word flesh became." Well, he did have a beginning in that way, but not as the eternal God of heaven, the eternal Son. It says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and you may drink of him the blood, ye may drink. And I want to show you something else. Ye may drink. That word there is piete. That second person plural, second aorist, subjunctive active. Every time that you see the Bible talking about salvation, you're going to see it in the maybe mode. The maybe mode is the subjunctive mode. Subjunctive mode. Every time you see that God talking about somebody receiving his forgiveness of sins or calling upon him, it's in the subjunctive mode. They may or they may not do it.
Mm-hmm.
They may or they may not do it. It's as simple as that. And ye may drink of him the blood, and not they have life in themselves. Not ye have, that is, life in yourselves. Got the wrong thing written down there. Not ye have life in themselves. Not have life. Not have life
in themselves,
yeah.
But have life through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, only you can have life through Jesus Christ, not in what you do
mm-hmm.
in a religion, not what you do in a religion, but only in Jesus Christ. These lawyers held to the absolute letter of the law. But they did not do what God wanted them to do. John 6:54. Ho trogon mu tain sarka kai pinon mu to haima. Okay, that's nominative singular masculine, that trogon there. Whole trogon, the one eating of me the flesh and drinking. Oh, it looks like something continually. You know, to live in Christ is to live in him. That is to constantly partake of him and to depend upon his spirit. We do. Talking about Jesus, or Jesus is talking about eating of his flesh and his blood. He says here, the one eating of me the flesh and drinking of me the blood. And then it says here, that word eke there, that third person singular, present, indicative, active. That's a really easy one. O-H-A, omen, eti, usiane. All right? He has. What does that he has mean, that present indicative active? Brother Jim, do you remember what that means? Continuous action.
Continuous and not finished.
That's right. Continuous and not finished. Present tense action. All right? This person that eats and drinks of me, that in other words what he's saying there, accept him as the Messiah. That's what he's talking about. Accepting him as Jehovah. That one, he has Zoein Aionio, life eternal. Life. Zoein, we get our word zoo from that word there, by the way. The word zoo comes from that word Zoein. That, we're in a zoo, you have what? What do you study in a zoo? Living things.
Yeah.
Live things, living things. All right, and then Aionio. This is an interesting word. I've looked at this and gone over it. Looked at it and gone over it. And just here recently, I made another discovery. In studying this word. This word means that you cannot understand how long something is. The longevity of this life. Okay? It means where your senses of detection begin lose, stop. That's where this word begins. Your idea of eternal, your idea of it, stops where this really word really is. That's how long it is. We cannot fathom. We cannot understand how long eternal is. Eternal damnation. Eternal life. How long is hell? How long is it?
What is that word?
Hell? Aionion.
Is that eon? Is that the same that like an eon of time?
Yes, the eon of time.
Eon.
Eon. This it comes right straight out of the Greek language.
Oh,
eon. Eons.
Eons of eons.
Well, ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. That's what it means. Ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. That's what it means. There are other places where it's used eon, ton, eon, eon. Okay?
Well, tell me that with the Greek word again.
Eonion.
Eonion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it is, then.
Eon. 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 Mm-hmm. And a word eon, our word eon, comes right straight out of there. It means our perception ends is where that begins. That's how long it is. In other words, we cannot attain the idea of longevity, of eternal. This is beyond our comprehension of this word eternal. And then it says kago. And then it says and I. And I, that word comes from kai and ego, by the way. It's a little combined word. And I shall raise him up in the last day. Who is the God of the resurrection? Jesus said, what? I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, I shall raise him up in the last day. The last day. The last day before the resurrection. That's what it's talking about, the last day. The last day before the resurrection. I shall raise him up in the last day. Anateso. First person singular, future, indicative, active, and it comes from ana and histomy. Okay? I shall raise him up in the last day. John 6 and verse 55. Hey, Hagar. If you said Hagar there, what would you see? Yeah, that's a biblical name, isn't it? Hagar. All right. Hagar Sarks. Sarks, Moon, Alethes, Eston, Brosis, Kai, Toe, Haima, Mu, Alethes, Eston, Posis. All right, let's see if that's where that is. Yep, that's where it ends. For the flesh of me. We start off with a conjunction. Sometimes in the Greek, it's still a conjunction in the sentence. All right? For the flesh of me, true. We saw the word amen a while ago, didn't we? Well, this word true here, this alethes, comes from that same word amen. It's from the same root. Truth. All right? Truth. Amen means truth. Or absolutely, most affirmatively, I will stand behind it. All right? He said, for the flesh of me true, it is food. All right? It is true food. It is true good eating. That word brosis there, that means good eating. Good eating. Now, I have been to some restaurants where it was not good eating.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you? We went to a restaurant here together. We went out there at little, what was the name of that little something corner? Down the road from where we live, there on
Schweitzer's
Schweitzer's Corner. Yeah, we went to that little restaurant here a while back, and boy, they had some good eating biscuits. Their hash browns were not in that caliber, but the biscuits were really good. They were nice little biscuits, but the hash browns weren't good eating, but the biscuits were good eating. But Jesus said, remember who he's talking about here now. He's talking to the people that follow him. He's talking to the lawyers now that have come off on the scene and all the different people among those that he had fed. Like 15 or 20,000 people that he had fed. And they talked about the miracle of him feeding them like God fed Israel in the wilderness. That was a direct type of that. And he talked about it. He said Moses fed them in the wilderness and they all died. They all ate manna, but they all died. He said, I'm going to tell you about some good eating food. They did not like the manna, did they? What did they call for, Jim?
They grumbled. They wanted some meat. They wanted a little solid food.
They wanted meat, and what else? They said, we want to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt.
Right, right.
Where were the flesh pots? In Egypt.
They were south.
All right.
Heading back toward the
good old world. The south, heading south. You know, sometimes that word heading south means going to the death, to your death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the south to them was Egypt. But it meant more than that. That was slavery, it was bondage,
mm-hmm.
It's world. You know, when we're on this world, we're in bondage, aren't we? We are in bondage. The best of us are in bondage. Just think about it. Think about your own life. Think about your health. Everybody wants to retire early. Don't they? Today, everybody wants to retire early. A long time ago, people had better brains than that. They didn't want to retire early. They wanted to do something they liked. And do it for a long time. And be able to eat and live and have a shelter over their house. That's what they wanted. They wanted to do a job that they enjoyed. God said, whatever you do, do it with all your might. All your happiness, too.
Mm-hmm.
Find something you want to do and do it. My wife's mother liked to cook. She was good to cook, too, wasn't she?
She
her whole occupation in life lived around cooking. That's what she liked to do. Well, she had the occupation that she liked. She was in heaven cooking. All right? She just liked that. My son, my oldest boy, he was really smart in school. He got a 98 or 99% average in high school all the way through. That's real high. You know, that's Jimmy. He was real smart. And I told Jimmy, you ought to be a doctor. Or you ought to be a nurse. You can make good money and you won't have to get your hands all dirty and you don't have to work out in the cold or anything like that. He'd help me mechanic all of his life. But when I bought him his first car, I mean, since that kid was 2 years old, he was out changing spark plugs with me and trying to mechanic, and he'd sit up there with a piston and clean out the piston ring grooves and want to put little new piston rings in it and everything. He loved doing mechanic work. But I bought him a 57 Chevy pickup. And I tried to teach him mechanic work all of his life, but he just didn't get it. He didn't remember it. And I said, Jimmy, you need to put back brakes on that pickup out there. He said, well, Dad, come out there and show me how to do it. I said, son, how many hundreds of pair of brakes have you seen me put on a car? I'm not going to show you anymore. He said, what? You're not going to show me anymore? I said, no. It's time for you to learn. Yeah, and he said, well, I want to be a mechanic. I said, well, then I've tried to teach you all your life to be a mechanic. He said, well, I didn't listen then, Dad. He said, I didn't listen. But if you'll show me one more time, I'll listen. I wouldn't do it. I said, you need to be a nurse or a doctor. Forget this mechanic in business. That's the hardest thing in the world for you to do. I said, you know, figures and math and things like that. I said, forget this mechanic work. But he loves doing mechanic work. Mm-hmm. And it was the hardest thing in the world for him to learn. I took him and I worked at Ace Hydraulic. And I spent 2 or 3 years teaching him how to be a pump mechanic. And he was slow in learning it. He was not apt at that. But he loved it. And you know what? He's a real, real good mechanic today. But he had to really try hard because he wasn't apt at being a mechanic. But that's what he wanted to do. And he's happy being a mechanic. He's happy being a mechanic. And I remember one of the happiest times in my life was over there putting pumps together and everything and being a pump mechanic. I really enjoyed it. It was like Christmas every day. I get to open boxes and build pumps and build new pieces of equipment. I really enjoyed it. Wanting to do what you want to do. Good eating. Something that is useful. What those people ate out there that he gave that fish and bread to them, they thought it was good eating. He had so much there that they had leftovers. When Israel was down there in slavery, and they had the leeks of Egypt. Leeks are onions. You know, a lot of people like onions. I don't like onions. I like cooked onions, but I don't like raw onions. They make me sick. And I don't like to even taste them.
I love them.
Yeah, I know.
I have to have an onion in the stew pot.
But it's cooked onions, all right.
Yeah.
But I can't handle raw onions.
Mm-hmm, not hot ones anyway.
But some people wanted. They wanted tasty things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to what I was saying before. Now people want to retire early. They don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Back then, do what you want to do and do it well. Whatever you are, do it the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud of yourself and whatever you do. If you can cook, be a cook. If you want to be a farmer, farm the best you can farm. If you want to be a mechanic, be the best mechanic. Be the best real estate man there is, or whatever you want to be the best. And be a witness for God out there doing it while you're doing it. Be a witness to God while you're doing it. Good food, good eating. Not just eating, but good eating. And the blood of me is true. The blood of me is true drink. It's true satisfying drink. Jesus, in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John, talked to an old woman, didn't he? An old Jezebel. She had a bunch of men, different husbands, and she was living with somebody else's husband at that time. Evidently, it wasn't her own. And Jesus came and talked to her and said, you're coming down here to pay all this water out of this well, to haul it up, and I can give you water that's a spring in your house where you live. And she thought he was going to bring in and pipe in water. That wasn't what he's talking about. It's the kind of water that you drink one time. One time you partake of salvation, that's enough. If you partake of salvation, it's enough. You can go through all the motions of walking down an aisle, and if God's not in it, he's not there. There's nothing you can do about it. In true salvation, there is repentance, isn't there? People's lives change. Their minds change. their hearts change in true repentance and true salvation. A lot of people go through the motions. We talked about, I think it was last week, last Sunday morning, we talked about how many people are saved in churches. What is the percent? I think Billy Graham said 10%, I believe.
Yeah.
10%.
That's not too much.
And we got to talking about that because we talked about all the people that left Egypt. How many of them made it into the promised land?
Joshua.
Caleb and their families. That was it. That's not very big percent, is it?
No. What was it? You said two?
Several million.
Well, two plus their families.
So two plus
their families out of millions.
Yeah, that was nil.
That's not much. They weren't faithful, were they? They weren't faithful. God hauled them out. He had to kill all of them so he could only bring in the cream of the crop. Their descendants came into the promised land, but not them. They all had to die. They all had to die. The blood of me and the food of me is true drink and true good eating. John 6 and verse 56. John 6 and verse 56. Whole, trogon, mu, tain, sarka, kai, hinon, mu, tol, haima, en, emoi, mane, kago, in, auto. We get the word kago again there. See, that's another repeat. And I comes from ka, or kai, and ego. A first person pronoun is ego, I, and kai is and. That's a conjunction. Page 208 in your analytical lexicon. The one eating. That word trogon there, or trogon, that's nominative singular masculine, the present participle and active. The one eating of me the flesh and drinking of me the blood in me, what? He remains. All right, third person singular, present, indicative, active. And that comes from meno, menes, mene, menomen, meneni, menusi, menane. If you want to conjugate that whole verb, okay? In me he remains. The one truly eating and the one truly drinking of me, in me remains. We see so many people, like we said, professing salvation. And yet so many people actually obsessing or possessing salvation, that is. There's quite a difference in it, isn't there? But Jesus said, the one truly that partook of me, he remains. He remains and I in him. Once you're born again, that's it. That's the end product.
Mm-hmm.
You are saved. That is a completed product. You are saved. You are born again. You are saved, and that is past tense. In Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, for in grace ye are having been saved. That's a perfect participle. You are having been saved. It's a completed action.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith. You are having been saved through faith, and that, not of yourself. The faith doesn't come from you. The believing doesn't come from you. The calling comes from God. And the repentance that God grants your spirit if you're saved comes from God. It comes from God. It's a gift. All a gift. For in gifts. That word grace, that's gifts. We talk about the charismatic movement today. The charismatic movement majors on what? The spiritual gifts. Not that. Talking in tongues and miracles and healings. Gifts. But the gift, the true gift, are not those things, but is the grace, the gift of eternal life. Mm-hmm. John 6 and verse 56. Brother Jim, do you have a question, Bible question tonight or anything?
No, I was just looking back at my other notes here at Genesis 1:1 and Bar-Rushi still.
In beginnings. In beginnings.
I'm still studying different King James versions and New American Standard and NIV. Everything makes sense. And if you go back to the original inspiration, you hold the rules of grammar.
Yeah, if you do, it will straighten out all your theology. You don't have to worry. God will straighten out all your theology if you will breathe and partake of His inspired word, because He, God, breathed it. And it was inspired in those languages. And we expect everything to just come to us on a silver platter, but to get into some of that stuff, you got to really work. And I can stand up here and I can teach you, but boy, when you see those jewels yourself, you know, I had some real good language teachers, but sometimes I'd go beyond what they were teaching me. And Travis Hubbard, he was my Greek teacher and my Hebrew teacher too. And his teacher was J. Lewis Guthrie, and of course, like I said, S.R. Driver, and these are, I'm descendants of those people, because they're the teachers of the people that taught me. And Gesenius. All you see in there, when you go look and you start looking in those words and you start reading in those original languages, you start tracing the etymology and how the verb forms act. Instead of just taking what somebody else says, start translating the Word of God, and it'll jump out at you and slap you around and take you up to heaven with Him. And I mean, it does, if you'll just spend time in it. And that's what this class is for. And that's what I try to do that one Sunday morning also. We have a whole hour of class. And I get in here as quickly as I can. And we had a concert last Sunday. It's with a singles group that's in here. But I usually just come up here. Sometimes we stay down there a little bit. And then they dismiss us to our classes. But last week they had a concert. And they told us, well, I come up here and ask them. I said, do you want me to teach or do you want to go to the concert? And we said, we heard that woman sing, but we want to hear you teach, you know, this morning. So we came back